Everything you need to know and more on AM and FM. All your favorite programs and personalities with a cleaner, clearer signal and a larger nighttime coverage area. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were it and you had bad traits, your gold was stolen and the golden rule. So why are you acting like a bloody fool? If you get hot, then you must get cool. Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do?
And you are tuned in to the Peace Officer Talk Show today. I've got the two chief law enforcement officers in Des Moines County, the chief of the Burlington Police Department, Dennis Kramer, is joining me. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, Steve.
We also have the sheriff of Des Moines County, Mike Johnstone, joining us.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Mike. And Colin Letty is also across the council. Colin, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And we're talking about law enforcement. We're talking about any of the issues that have been going on. It's been a strange summer, to say the very least, in many, many ways. But it's been stranger on law enforcement. And the we talked about the war on police or the war on law enforcement. And we talked about, you know, that that seemed to come out and to emanate. But what happened up in starting up in Minneapolis and then spread across the country, and it has been simply an upside down world in terms of what seems to be going on. The very term, and I'm not even sure. I know that we've heard so many different times defunding, that the fact that defunding police and it's, you know, defunding the police departments or reorganizing police departments or, you know, and then we have situations where we have things like what's been going on in Portland. I mean, two of the cities I've been to that have been, I've always considered two of the safest, nicest, most beautiful cities, Portland and Seattle, and they've been just under siege. And one of my other favorite cities, Minneapolis, has been, and of course, Chicago is a very familiar city because I've got a daughter living there. But you know, it's what's going on? I guess your own idea. What's going on? Is it restlessness, or is it just simply, are we all berserk a little bit? Or,
well, I think there's a lot of things that come into play when we start talking about this whole situation, and a lot of it probably has to do a little bit with the COVID and a lot of people out of work and a lot of people with a lot of time on their hands and those kind of things. And I think that definitely complicates. I think there's a lot of frustration by some folks in regard to, you know, the situations at hand. And I really don't understand this idea of defunding law enforcement. Law enforcement generally work on a pretty tight budget anyway. I know we do, and I'm sure the chief does. Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing about defunding is, like, especially in communities like, you know, Minneapolis, is when you talk about reorganizing the police or eliminating the police, you know, a lot of those folks that live in those communities and have the high crime areas and the areas where we've had this incident with George Floyd and other incidents, it's like, they're the ones that need law enforcement the most.
Yeah.
They're the ones that need the presence of law enforcement in their communities to control the crime. And trust me, the criminal element will take full advantage of any defunding of the law enforcement that occurs. And when you take, you know, money away for patrol services and for those kind of things, and you're cutting back on officers, or officers are just quitting or not getting into, they're just saying, you know, I've had enough of this. You're going to find that their ability to enforce the laws and to help those people in those areas is going to go way down. And then they're going to complain that there's no law enforcement. Well, that's what you ask for. That's what you get. And that's going to create a big issue for those communities. Crime will rise. There'll be more killings and shootings within their own community because of it. And I just, without some sense of order, that's anarchy, and you can see that in a lot of these areas. You know, quite honestly, we had a testing here recently to, you know, for a job opening.
Mm-hmm.
and just getting someone interested in applying for a job in law enforcement right now is a task. I mean, it's extremely hard. They're looking the other way. to get professional people, you know, that are really interested in getting in this business is extremely hard, and it's going to get a lot harder. So, you know, I understand some of the frustration in these cities in regard to this, but what I don't understand is how they tend to put us all in the same basket.
That
just frustrates me.
It does seem, Dennis, that, and maybe it's just perception, but it seems that in a lot of these major cities that are having the issues that they're having, they seem to be in a different world than we are here in Burlington or Des Moines County. I know that there's probably, obviously, there's some similar things going on, but as far as the Burlington Police Department, and I know that recruitment is still extremely hard, and I think what Mike just said, that's hard everywhere right now, trying to convince people or to get new, or get to highly good qualified law enforcement candidates to be available. But you really haven't had the kind of issues or any of those types of issues, have you, that the major cities have been facing?
Well, there's issues that happen throughout the course of any year in law enforcement that I know the sheriff and I both deal with, and we give people the opportunity to come in and voice their concerns and have a voice anytime, you know, when there's something that they don't understand, mm-hmm. something that they feel they've been done wrong. We give them those opportunities, and we try to make sure that we hold our employees accountable for their actions, and that's the main objective here. When you talk about things that happen, like happened in Minneapolis, you know, and there's things that may not have been in place there that they needed to have in place. Mm-hmm. Then there's some suggestions that are coming out as a result of that incident for every law enforcement agency that are being put into play. When you talk about a chokehold, well. You know, chokeholds were never a part of our training, you know, at the police department, and were not authorized. So specifically in the policies, those that has been established or addressed already at the police department, and we do bias-based policing or training, and an awareness, you know, of that. Can we always do something better? You know, whether it's an investigation or whether the way that we handle traffic accidents, can we do something better? We work on that daily, you know, and that's in any profession. As you know, as a radio
yeah.
host, you know, there's things that you try to do daily to improve your profession. And that's what we try to do here, and we continue to strive for that. And when you talk about recruitment, you know, and we've been advertising now for about a month and a half, and we went to a internet-based app that would allow people, you know, the younger generation typically works off of the internet or an app or off of a smartphone, and that's how they get notifications versus a newspaper or television or radio. So we did a push for that, and we ended up with a few more applicants at this point, but we're testing again on August 22nd, and, you know, we have, I think, 22 people that have expressed interest in our police department. So, and that usually boils down to maybe you might get to just under 50% of those that are even close to being qualified before we interview them. So mm-hmm. When I say qualified, because they have to do physical agility
right.
and a written test and so on and so forth. And then we get to the background investigation, the mental aptitude test, and then we have polygraphs that we do. So there's a lot of steps that eliminate those, hopefully eliminate some of those employees that are bad employees, especially that background investigation and that polygraph.
It's been said, now one of the things, speculation has been said, like in Minneapolis or some of the very larger cities, that because of the as I said, the difficulty in recruitment, that there have been people who have been made police officers that really wouldn't qualify under your rules or wouldn't qualify under your rules, but because the need has been there to have so many bodies out on the street to try to fill that need, they've had to lower the standards to make that fit.
I want to talk a little bit about
okay.
that, Steve.
And that's speculation, though, too.
Yeah, and when when you talk about lowering the standards, when I go through the applicants, and I know the sheriff does the same thing because him and I talk quite a bit about it, but to lower those standards is not a way to hold that line of integrity that you want at your department. And I don't lower my standards. I would just as soon go through a whole list mm-hmm. and work short versus working with somebody right. that's not qualified to do the job right. and making an exception. Right. I won't make an exception.
Yeah, the situation and the very situation that was with George Floyd, that issue, that right. particular thing right there. He was the experienced officer, but he had a number of reprimands. I believe there was 11 or 12 reprimands on his record, and he was the leader of a group of four that were the other three were all rookies.
Right.
And so it was a prescription, at least a situation that simply was not a good situation all the way around. And where they were, and I didn't realize Minneapolis was divided as much as it was. In fact, I understood after I did more reading that I-35W, you've been to Minneapolis a few times. Well,
right.
I-35W, when it cuts across there, basically divides mm-hmm. north and south. You have a very affluent area of Minneapolis, and you have a very, very very poor area mm-hmm. of Minneapolis, right. and poor and minorities. And it's like the difference between night and day and the difference between rich and poor or all of those other things. And it's very, very, it's sort of a defining, to realize that, and I'm guessing that other cities are, I know that in Chicago, I'm well aware of Chicago, and there's areas I'm not going to go into Chicago, but in Burlington, and yeah, there's, we don't have the same we have areas that there's areas there's always going to be crime that's going to happen. But one of the things that I've also noticed, and I remember it's a quote that I have from you from about 25 years ago, Mike, when you were talking about when you were a new young police officer, and you said you got a report there was a fight going on, and it was a fist fight, or if it was a bar, maybe somebody's hitting somebody mm-hmm. over the head with a pool cue. And now it's and now when you hear that there's a fight going on, you have to be prepared and expect that there's people are bringing out guns. And mm-hmm. How do you combat something like that, Dennis? How do you combat mm-hmm. that kind of attitude?
Well, the way that we're dealing with violent crime is the prosecution and the punishment side. You know, there's we work with our federal partners mm-hmm. and out of the Quad Cities through the U.S. Attorney's Office to work with them to put some teeth into those kind of crimes. You know, firearms in the possession by a felon, and felons committing crimes with firearms, and a lot of times that's also in connection with narcotics. So there just seems to be more of a rigid line on punishment in the federal court system than there is in the state court system. And that's something that probably needs to be addressed down the road. And I've talked about this before when it comes to carrying weapons here, and I've had that push for since Chief Beard has left office. He started with it, and I'm still pushing it for 2.5 years later. You know, and there's been no change in state legislation on carrying weapons. You know, you get caught carrying weapons 5 times, it's still the same misdemeanor charge. It never has any enhancements. You get caught 3 times for driving drunk, and you're a convicted felon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's the fairness in this? And this needs to change at the state level, and it hasn't.
Gun crime in general. I'm going to ask each of you. Gun crime in general. Percentage gun crime utilizing illegal or unregistered, stolen or unregistered weapons. If you had to put a percentage on it, what would you say? Could you put an estimate on how much gun crime was done by illegal weapons?
No, I don't really track that because it's hard to track what are illegal weapons. But just persons that are illegally possessing firearms, I know has increased. And, mm-hmm. and that's what I'm talking about, people that illegally are carrying weapons. You know, a legal gun owner, a person that's carrying a weapon legally, and the sheriff knows because he deals with those licenses. Right. And, you know, there's people out there that are legally carrying, and I don't know if that's increased or not, but, you know, people that are illegally carrying firearms that shouldn't be or haven't gone through the permitting that they need to, You know, those are the crimes that I'm talking about.
What about Mike? What do you think?
Well, by far, I think your legal gun owners and those that carry understand the obligation that they have, and they understand the privilege that they have, and that's one thing we underscore to them when they get that, is that they appreciate the fact that they can carry and protect themselves. And we've had very little trouble with those that are legally, licensed to carry. There have been a few occasions, and mainly dealing with OWIs and drinking and those kind of things. But for the most part, you just don't have a lot of trouble because they appreciate the fact that they have it. What we do see is those that are convicted felons or those running drugs, those kind of things. They're almost always in accompanied by a weapon of some kind. You generally a handgun or a rifle or a cut down shotgun or something like that. And we see that. And when we do our drug, we do our, search warrants and those kind of things, oftentimes we're very concerned about the fact that weapons are involved. And so we prepare for that. And unfortunately, that kind of goes with the drug trade is these weapons. And of course, and that's where the chief said we get federal authorities involved. And those, there's much more of a sting to that federal law than there is to the state law, and they will get some very hard time if a weapon's involved.
I know one of the other things we've said and we've emphasized over, and you have emphasized, both of you and any of the law enforcement officers we've had, is there's no such thing as a routine traffic stop anymore. Is that a safe bet?
Well, sometimes you get a sense, and when you pull in behind the vehicle and watch people's motions and movements in the vehicle and, the amount of time it takes them to pull over. There's a lot of different factors that we look at when we go to stop a vehicle. And then approaching the vehicle, is it routine? No, you shouldn't expect routine. But a majority of the time, people are pretty much, nobody likes to get a ticket.
Right.
Nobody likes to be told they've done something wrong. And to get up there and have that conversation is a difficult conversation for the officer to have, let alone the person that's driving the vehicle don't want to hear it. So when you get up there, that interaction is very important. And the officer needs to be in control of that situation because there's a lot of dangerous factors, not only in the car, but outside
of it. Okay. The difference... Or I guess how much of a difference is COVID-19? Or how about the COVID summer or the COVID year? It just seems like a year, but the COVID year, how much of a difference is it? Or is there a difference?
Early on, statistically, there was a little bit of difference when it comes to our traffic enforcement. Our calls for service kind of dipped down in March, April, but those have bounced back. And people are back on the move, even if it is just locally.
Okay.
They're still moving about, and there's an increase in probably traffic violations and some things that we're trying to do to curtail some
returning
of that.
More to normal, is that what you would say?
Okay. Yes.
How about Mike? How about you?
I would agree. I think at the very beginning we were very cautious about what type of vehicles and when we stopped vehicles, and we tended to be a little slack on that because we weren't sure so much about the COVID and how to protect ourselves, and we really didn't want to expose ourselves or anyone else in the department. And the chief will tell you this, is that, when one of us gets exposed, more than likely several other officers are exposed, and we're small departments, and we can't have our people down with COVID. So, but I will tell you now that for the most part, we have learned, how to be careful and protect ourselves out there, and also, we are becoming more aggressive on the traffic stops and those kind of things. So again, we're trying to control some of the speed that's out there, which has really got out of control over the time. And trust me, there's no guarantee you won't get pulled over night or day at this time.
We're going to take a break for news. We've got the chief law enforcement officers of Des Moines County, the chief of the Burlington Police Department, the sheriff of Des Moines County, Mike Johnstone, Dennis Kramer, both join us, Colin Letty, yours truly, Steve Hexum. Our phone lines are open at 754-1490. We will return right after the news.
If you're looking for complete coverage of local, state, regional, and national high school, college, and professional sports, tune in to Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360 to Dave O'Hara Sports every Monday through Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. If you want to listen to archived episodes or interviews of specific players, coaches, reporters, and broadcasters, or have comments or questions for the show, go to twitter.com@Dave O'Hara Sports or facebook.com/Dave O'Hara Sports.
It's time for some straight talk. Here's a wireless equation to wrap your brain around. Big carriers plus fancy phone offers plus pricey contracts equals fail. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get a new phone payment plan with no fees, no contracts, and no deposits. For great Samsung phones starting at less than $7 a month. All on America's largest and most dependable networks for up to 50% less. Turn that brain power into money-saving power. Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart.
It's time for an upgrade. Beneath your feet, with beautiful, durable new carpet from the Home Depot. And right now, free installation. Choose from a wide selection of styles. Order samples. Schedule a measure and installation, all online. It's never been easier to have carpet you love, right where you live. New carpet and free installation, only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Free installation on carpet $4.99 or more and 99 cents or more per square foot. U.S. only.
You've probably heard Teresa Greenfield say this.
Not taking one dime. Won't take one dime.
She wants you to believe she doesn't take a dime of special interest money. The problem is, she's lying. Greenfield has taken more than $500,000 from corporate lobbyists, executives, and CEOs. Money from drug company lobbyists, insurance lobbyists, even big oil. That's right. So while Greenfield tells you one thing,
won't take one dime,
behind closed doors, she's taking big money from big oil lobbyists, the same ones that declared war on ethanol. Ask yourself, why would Teresa Greenfield take so much money from corporate lobbyists, even big oil, then lie about it? And if Greenfield lies about this, what else is she lying about? A better choice for Iowa? Joni Ernst, mother, soldier, leader for U.S. Senate.
I'm Joni Ernst, candidate for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Joni for Iowa.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
News brought to you by Kelly O'Shea's Pub and Grill, featuring a full menu including seafood, steaks, chops, pub sandwiches, whole catfish, and appetizers, as well as nightly specials. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
And now the latest from the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. The Burlington School Board on Wednesday approved the latest reading of a new policy for students' return to campus this fall. The council approved the first reading of the policy by a 4-3 vote. This new policy will require students, staff, and visitors to wear face coverings when in school facilities where physical distancing of at least 6 feet is not possible. Also discussed was the issue of masks at sporting events. Members of the board explained that face coverings at sporting events are going to be strongly encouraged but not required. Superintendent Pat Cohen also said that signage will be posted at sporting events to encourage wearing masks, and both the top and bottom sections of the gymnasium will be open to allow for better physical distancing. The new policy will be presented to the board for approval of a second reading on Monday. The Henderson County Sheriff's Office has announced the arrest of an Aquaca man on domestic violence charges. On Wednesday, the Henderson County Sheriff's Office and the Aquaca Police Department responded to a domestic violence call at a residence on Green Street in Aquaca. After a brief investigation, 22-year-old Ethan Hand of Aquaca was arrested for domestic battery and interfering with the reporting of domestic violence. During the arrest, Hand became violent, mildly injuring one deputy. Hand was then charged with aggravated battery to a police officer and resisting arrest. Hand was transported to the Henderson County Jail and is awaiting a court appearance. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds has signed an executive order granting convicted felons the right to vote, ending Iowa's place as the only remaining state to broadly deny voting rights to felons. The governor signed the order Wednesday after promising in June that she would take such action. Reynolds says she'll continue to press the legislature to pass a constitutional amendment restoring felon voting rights, which couldn't be reversed by a future governor. She proposed that last year but could not get Republican state senators to support it. The order excludes automatic restoration for more serious crimes, such as murder, requiring those people to seek individual restoration, but does not require payment of victim restitution before they could vote. From the KBOR Newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu. After another night of protests in Portland, Oregon, Chad Wolf speaks before the Senate Homeland Security Committee.
Our law enforcement officers are not an occupying force.
One point of the actions, the homeland the acting Homeland Security Secretary makes, according to Fox's Lucas Tomlinson.
DHS was abandoned by local leaders. The violence was there in Portland before we arrived and is still ongoing after we are less visible. Wolf to show a video and share lots of photos illustrating the recent violence as law enforcement officers have endured while protecting the federal courthouse after 69 consecutive nights of rioting in Oregon.
President Trump says it's possible the U.S. could have a coronavirus vaccine before the November election. Speaking remark to the Geraldo Rivera radio show and the White House trade advisor announcing the president says he'll sign an executive order requiring the government to buy essential drugs from a U.S. company. America's listening to Fox News.
The weather outside is beautiful, and that means it's patio season. It's time for sun, fun, and exceptional food and drinks, only at Kelly O'Shea's. Dine in for fresh summer delights or use their carryout and curbside pickup options available on Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays to keep you warm and happy during the day's end. Check out their menu at Kelly O'Shea's Pub's Facebook page to see what's to offer. Not your average pub, not the average way. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Partly sunny today. Should be a high around 80 degrees. South winds at 5 to 10 tonight. Partly cloudy. A low down to 60. Mostly sunny Friday. High to 84. Partly cloudy Friday night. A 40% chance of a shower or thunderstorm overnight. A low down to 68. And for Saturday, we'll see a partly sunny sky. 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mainly in the morning with a high of 88. Mostly sunny and hot Sunday with a high up to 91. And right now, partly sunny skies, 69 degrees.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Stocks are in the green on Wall Street. The weekly jobless claims number was better than expected. 1.1 million people applied for unemployment benefits last week, lower than the 1.4 million who applied the week before. Gold has already hit an intraday high of $2,072 an ounce this morning. Watch airline stocks today. They rallied yesterday on word President Trump is backing a plan for a new $25 billion federal bailout. Facebook says it's removed a Trump campaign video claiming that children are immune from the coronavirus, saying it's not true. Flu shot makers are stepping up production to vaccinate the U.S. population early, as already overburdened hospitals are facing the prospect of handling flu and COVID-19 at the same time this fall. 4 p.m. Eastern today, the deadline for NFL players to opt out of the season. More than 50 have decided not to play so far. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. BABBEL.com.
Start your day with KBUR.
The morning news. The weather.
Information you need to start your day.
Instant, up to date.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. And online at KBUR.com.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do?
And welcome back on the talk show today. We've got the chief law enforcement officers of the Des Moines County Sheriff Mike Johnstone's across the council. Good to have you back again,
oh,
by
thanks,
the way.
Steve. Glad to be here.
Dennis Kramer is the chief of the Burlington Police Department. We've been talking about a little bit about, okay, the effects of what this virus has done. You mentioned, just sort of mentioned it a little bit about the fact is, speeding has been off the charts. I know the State Patrol says that the number of tickets for those driving over 100 miles an hour is the highest by, I believe, 300% right now. I don't think you're probably not dealing with quite that kind of numbers. I mean, I don't think you're dealing with a lot of people driving over 100 miles an hour, are you?
Yeah, there's still some of that out there, and we see it mainly in the evening. Although yesterday, I was coming down the freeway and noticed a California plated SUV out on the freeway running about 90. You know, and it's like, you know, I know they're at a faster pace than we are, but it's like, and just ended up slowing her down. But
is there an explanation why? No,
I mean, I think they're just in another world. I think they just they get out and go. A lot of people, there's not as many cars on the road, so it's clearer and easier to get out there and go. So I think that's part of the problem is they get out there and it's an open road and they just go. And that's just generally, it's like I didn't realize I was going that fast type thing. And people are distracted, distracted driving. They're on their phones. They're not paying attention.
Yeah.
And, you know, today's cars nowadays is extremely easy to get up to some very high speeds because they're so quiet and they ride mm-hmm. smooth and those kind of things too. But in one spot we're really having trouble with, and I want to mention this, is up on 61 north of town. Anybody that's been up that way will know that they're doing a lot of construction on that road, and they're making some really good progress. But I would ask everybody to please slow down when you get up in there. You got trucks coming off the road, onto the road. They're carrying heavy loads of concrete and gravel and sand, and they're stopping and starting a lot. And there's a lot of construction workers, highway workers, close proximity to the highway. So all of those things really create issues when it comes to safety. Again, we have people that are in a big hurry. You know, you need to slow down, watch out for these construction workers because they are trying to make a better road for us all, and they're making good progress, but we don't need a tragedy.
You know, I was also talking during the break, Dennis, about the fact that we've got restrictions, or I guess law enforcement is being called upon to basically to police, and exactly, maybe that's not the right term, but to basically enforce restrictions, COVID-19 restrictions in bars and restaurants. And I don't know exactly how that works, whether it's by complaint basis or whether you're just happening to, you know, whether it's a standard patrol issue. We were just talking about how people typically go to bars. If there's music playing or whatever, you're typically sure. going to get closer to somebody. You're not social distancing is an extraordinarily difficult thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, when you talk about people in that atmosphere, I mean, a bar atmosphere is a social atmosphere. That's what a lot of people go there to have a drink or two and to socially interact with a friend or somebody they haven't seen in a bit. So when you ask the bar owners and the liquor license holders to, you know, to cooperate and just make sure that they're enforcing that is where we start at. You know, that's
yeah.
where we start, is ask for their cooperation. Make sure they're adhering to it, because in the end, it'll have a big impact on their liquor license is where the impact will come. There may be a fine associated with it, a criminal penalty, but the impact will be the loss of business for 7-14 days or not being able to get a liquor license, you know, down the road.
Right.
So those are the impacts that we're trying to mitigate for them, so that we send out those officers to say, hey, you know, you need to be conscious of what's going on in your bar, and tell those patrons, you know, if you can't
yeah.
social distance, you're going to have to, you know, move along or something of that nature. So we ask for that cooperation. The enforcement end of it, you know, like I've talked about before, you know, the officers don't like to do that. That's the next step after someone
right.
refuses to cooperate when it comes to.
And officers do have discretion and other means, basically, in terms of that too, right? Is that correct?
They do, yeah.
Okay. DUIs in general are it would seem that they would be down, but just simply because we have more people, less people going to bars, more people just basically trying to just stay home alone or stay basically isolated. Is that happening, or am I wrong?
I think that the general overall alcohol consumption is up quite a bit. I think you'll see that most people are staying home and they're, you know, partaking there instead of getting out on the highways. And we do still make OWI arrests.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like we're making as many as we have in the past, but they're still out there.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I think from what I've been told by the beer distributors and stuff like that is
okay.
that the beer coolers are getting emptied pretty fast.
And boating. I was going to ask you about boating. You're an avid boater
right.
yourself.
Right.
Boating's been booming.
It has. And you can go out there almost any day, and the river is full. And, I encourage people to be very safe out there. I noticed a couple of boats last weekend that were overloaded. Of course, I was in my personal boat, and I wasn't going to, you know, there's nothing I will do at that point. But overloaded boats, people not using flotation devices, and a lot of drinking going on, and not a lot of social distancing, I will tell you that. It's some of the hot spots on the river, I noticed large groups of people very close to each other. They are outside, I will give them that. But,
yeah.
you know, again, those are issues that can come back to haunt you. And we've seen what's happened at, the beaches and those kind of things in other states. So it is what it is, but people are outside. They're enjoying the river, which I think is fantastic. We're not having, a lot of calls out there.
Okay.
I think people, for the most part, are being pretty responsible.
Okay. And in terms of now... You do have do you have a patrol boat?
We do.
Is it out there regularly?
Yes.
Is that?
It is. We try to get it out, real often. But we also, Burlington has theirs, and oftentimes mm-hmm. if there's a situation on the river, we'll launch together. That way we have two boats out, be it night or day. We've gone out at all hours of the night as well as the day, and we'll usually launch together.
Okay. And in terms of any, precautions, restrictions in terms of operations for what officers are doing, we talk about mask wearing or whatever protective. Everybody's got sanitizers in their vehicles. And is there anything you're doing specifically special because of COVID?
Some of the things come out of our comm center. Usually when they get a call for service out there, they'll ask if there's anyone at that at that call for service that they're aware of that is a COVID-19 patient or has tested positive for COVID, and they'll alert us to that, which will put into more protocols as far as wearing a mask and asking them to come outside and talk to us and maintain that distance. Officers in general. Us as police officers like our distance anyway. We have always tried to keep our distance whenever we're talking to somebody and don't let people get into our personal space ring is a little bit further when it comes to our job than an average person, I would say. So, that kind of social distancing, is good for us, but we do have to make those arrests and we've had, have arrested people that have tested
yeah.
positive for COVID-19. So there's protocols we put in place for testing and to assure and monitor our employees for symptoms, mm-hmm. Make sure they're asymptomatic and haven't suffered from it. And we've worked through some of those exposures without any ramifications, and we're thankful for that. Some of the officers do wear masks when they get into an arrest situation where they have to get into close proximity and choose to do that. It's not a mandatory wear for us to do that. So we are taking precautions, and we do sanitize. We have sanitizers available and sanitizers for them to wipe down their vehicles.
We've seen, and we mentioned bars and restaurants and changes in Iowa's, enforcement of that. But one of the things we've seen nationwide is private parties that have simply gone, crazy. Have you had anything like that here?
No, we have not. Although I've seen it across the country also. So, again, a lot of people are being very responsible about that, even within their own families. I know there are exceptions to that, but we haven't had to deal with that.
Okay.
No.
So So you're still, and neither, I mean, you haven't had that either. Because I know you had last summer, there was a lot of what we called after-hours parties that would be gathering there for a period of time. You haven't seen any of that, is that right,
Dennis? I have not heard about it. Okay. At least from my command staff, I have not heard about it. But don't jinx me, Steve.
I'm not jinxing you. I'm hoping I'm not. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We've got our peace officers with us, the Sheriff of Des Moines County, Mike Johnstone, the Chief of the Burlington Police Department, Dennis Kramer, Colin Letty, and yours truly, Steve Hexum. It's 9:49.
This is The Herd with Colin Cowherd.
Zion was on a minute's restriction. This is bulldoze parenting by the Pelicans. Will you just clear a path for your kids? Pelicans, you need to win these games. You're not in the playoffs yet. You've got to win these games. You had the game. Zion wasn't on the floor at the end. Put him in for 2 minutes. Was his conditioning that bad?
Colin Cowherd.
Weekdays 11 to 2 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, Frigidaire.
What are you doing, Mimi?
Making a list. LG, Samsung.
List of what?
All the brands we carry, Electrolux, KitchenAid.
What for?
I don't think people realize how many brands we have with all of the refrigerators, washer dryers, mowers, and weed whackers.
Beds too.
Yes, seaweed.
Seaweed. Do we have bandages?
Bandages? What do you need bandages for?
Papa and I are building a birdhouse.
I'll get the first aid kit.
Sears Hometown Store, next to Billy Sims in the city center in Burlington. Big brands at hometown prices with hometown service.
It's time to make a splash at Hucks Harbor at Fun City. Hucks Harbor indoor and outdoor water parks are now open for the season. Brave the River Ruckus Slide, 429 feet of twisty, turny curves, or relax and float the Lazy River. Little ones can romp on the splash pad or take a dip in the pool. Everyone will love tasty treats from the Snack Shack, and adults will want to check out the cool cocktail selection at the Tiki Bar. Admission is only $10. Enjoy fun in the sun daily at Hucks Harbor from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
The Burlington Municipal Band is not performing Sunday nights at 7:30 in Crapo Park due to the coronavirus. But KBUR has been presenting the best of the Burlington Municipal Band every Sunday night at 9. This week we wrap up the season with a round robin concert of various directors from August 9, 2015. It's the best of the Burlington Municipal Band this Sunday night at 9 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. And it is Peace Officer Day today. Mike Johnstone is the Sheriff of Des Moines County, and Dennis Kramer is the Chief of the Burlington Police Department, both of the top law enforcement officers in the county joining us today, talking about, how we compare to some of the other places. And it seems that if they're at least by and large, if you're going to be someplace, it's a whole lot better to be in Burlington, Iowa than in Minneapolis, Minnesota, or in Washington, D.C., or, God forbid, Portland, or any of those other places. If you follow the, I don't know if you've been following the state guidelines or whatever, they have a red zone of counties. They've got a yellow zone of counties. Lee County's in a yellow zone. But we are in the white zone, and I'm not talking about the movie Airplane either. We have had average no more than one positive case per day since this thing began, and there has not been, we had two deaths within the first 3 weeks. We have not had a single death in Des Moines County from COVID-19 since. So, the surge is not, at least we're not surging here. But there are places in Iowa where it is surging, and I'm not sure what reasons or why, but it's not bad to be here. But again, the challenges are always out there. I don't know what are the biggest challenges. I mean, we're coming into the fact is, I think that the restlessness and people are really getting tired of this thing. Would you agree with me on that, Mike?
I agree, but I think we're doing a lot of things right, and I think a lot of people are paying attention to it and taking it seriously, and we could do better in a lot of ways, and I think people are starting to get on board with wearing masks. I think, it was tough there for a while, but I think it's becoming more socially acceptable. I think that'll help, and it's one of those things we're going to get through. It's going to take some time. But it's working pretty well for our area, I think.
Okay.
I think we're all doing well.
And as far as restlessness or anything else like that, any indication of that in you, your mind, Dennis Kramer?
Yeah, some of the domestic calls and just the disagreements that we respond to are seem to be a little more frequent now, and people do get restless and spending a lot of time.
Well, the longer you spend time in the same place with somebody when you're not used to spending that time in that place with somebody can be, I guess you learn some things maybe. And
yeah, sometimes distance makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah, and so. Sometimes. But also the fact is, I guess if your wife is doing what my wife is doing, that she's so busy doing the stuff that she's doing, it's like, okay, just keep on doing it, and we'll figure that. I think that's it. I think people are. There has been sort of a spate of activity. I mean, we talked about businesses. A lot of businesses have really been hit hard by this thing. Travel agencies, clothing stores, just about any other place. Home improvement booming. Lawn and garden, booming. RV sales, booming. Mm-hmm. Fishing, right. Fishing equipment, fishing licenses,
right.
Booming. I don't know. It's like, it's not an even playing field in terms of what it's affecting.
I worry a little bit about when we get into fall and winter again, and we see some of that restlessness, but not like it was, back in the winter and then the spring when people were cooped up inside their homes. So I do worry a little bit about what's going to happen, down the road a little bit. And we run into the same problems the chief have, being close to someone for long periods of time can get wearing, even if you really care about somebody. So we encourage people to get out, take walks, go to the park, get outside, do these kind of things and socially distance again, take a deep breath. And we find that helps a lot. And people are learning to cope, which I think is good. But I worry a little bit about the upcoming fall.
Okay, I think that the big concern right now is that we have been relatively, and I said relatively fortunate to be where we are. Mm-hmm. But this thing comes back in a into a big wave. Once the real flu season is here, right. Then that could be. And if we don't have a vaccine, and it would appear unlikely that they would have something going by then, but. I guess, hope for the best and plan for the worst. I guess that's all you can do. Is that right?
Well, we've all been through some difficult times in the past, and this is nothing new. We'll get through it. We'll be better for it when it's over. I think law enforcement as well as the medical field has learned a lot from this and emergency management and different things. So there's always a silver lining to these type of things. You learn a lot when it hits. So lessons will be learned. Things next time it comes around, we'll do differently, and I think that we'll all be better for it in the end. But it will take time to get through, but, give it time, we'll get through it.
All right. Well, I guess that's all. In terms of, are you at full staffing, Dennis?
I'm at 45 officers right now and getting ready to hire one more. I got approved for a grant opportunity, so it'll take me to 46 officers here coming up within the next year. So I have an officer retiring October 2nd, and myself, I'm retiring October 1st. So
okay,
two of us leaving.
So we'll have a new chief of police.
Eventually, yes.
Yes, eventually. And Mike, you're retiring. Yeah. You're retiring coming up in this fall too, right?
Right. At the end of the year will be I'll be in for me, and I'm looking forward to that. I've got I just put my in July in my 44th year. So I'm ready to move, do some different things.
I think you need to be checked out.
I think so, too. I probably need a little psychological exam with that.
I may need a little psych, but I'm not planning on retiring anytime soon. I figured, it's...
Right. I've enjoyed it.
When my wife retires, I'll retire. That's basically what the rule is. Okay. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us. Dennis Kramer and Mike Johnstone.
Thanks,
have a great
Dave.
Day. You bet.
Enjoyed it.